Good evening. I have a little thought I'd like to share. Desire y'all's prayers. What I wrote on the board is the, not just the word why, the question why. How many of y'all have ever played the why game with a young child? Where they ask you why something happened and or why something is, and you respond, and they come back with another why question. And you respond, and they come back with another why question. And you respond, and this can keep going seemingly until the child falls asleep or you walk away, one of the two. What does the why question mean? Why do we ask that? And I'm using a lot of why questions. It's also how we ask, for what reason? For what cause or for what purpose? And there's been a lot happening in the congregation the last little bit. And it's sometimes causes us to ask the question, why? Why? And I feel like it's a perfectly natural question for people to ask. But I know sometimes I've heard people say, should we ask God why? And if things happen and maybe you should just take them at face value or deal with them or pray about them. But I want to start off in Exodus chapter 5, starting in verse 22, the last two verses of this chapter. And it says, and Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people, neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. Now Moses, I don't know about you all, but I, and when I say I'm jealous of Moses, I mean that in a healthy way. I'm jealous of Moses. This is the man that God came down to and talked with face to face. He had a special relationship with the Lord. And yet we see him openly asking the Lord, why? Why, Lord? You called me out of the land of Midian? You sent me back to the children of Israel? You told me to go talk to Pharaoh? That you were going to set your people free? And I've went and done that? And he ain't listening? And we're not free? Why, Lord? Moses asking the Lord a why question. Have you ever considered that the Lord's willing for us to ask why questions? That he understands our frailty? If we read on in chapter 6, starting in the first verse, this is the Lord responding to Moses. He said, then the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And he goes on and talks about what all he's going to do, and tells Moses to go tell the children of Israel what's going to happen. And dropping on down into verse 9, it says, and Moses spake unto the children of Israel, but they hearkened not unto Moses for anguish of spirit, for cruel bondage. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, go in, speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, that he let the children of Israel go out of his land. And Moses spake before the Lord, saying, behold, the children of Israel have not hearkened unto me. How then shall Pharaoh hear me, who am of uncircumcised lips? We see Moses is still asking why. He listened to the Lord. He said, okay, I'll go back out. I'll go talk to the children of Israel. Reiterate what's going to happen. Children of Israel didn't respond well. Haven't you all read in the Bible, I've read it, where it talks about you can tell a man's a prophet if the word he says comes true or not? And earlier, hadn't Moses been asking the Lord why things aren't coming true yet? And so he goes back to the children of Israel, and they're still not listening to him. And the Lord says, okay, well, now go tell Pharaoh too. And what's Moses' response? Why, Lord? Your people aren't even listening to me now. Why is Pharaoh going to listen? You know, God didn't chide him for asking why the first time. And if you read on down through the rest of chapter 6, we're not going to read it. He didn't chide Moses when he asked why a second time. He goes on to explain, this is what's going to happen. This is the way I'm going to set your people free. Have you ever considered that sometimes it's okay to ask the Lord why? Why, Lord? And even when the Lord gives you a response, if you still don't understand it, to go back and ask why again? Why, Lord? One thing I will call out, though, is if you look at Moses this whole time, he was not being disobedient. He was questioning the Lord, I don't get your reasoning. I don't understand why you're having me do this. And I'm asking you why, but if you tell me to go do it, I will go do it. So let's go on to Exodus chapter 12. Starting at verse 30 through 33. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go, serve the Lord as ye have said, and take your flocks and your herds as ye have said, and be gone and bless me also. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, we be all dead men. Now we see here that this is after the 10th plague. And we finally see the Lord's word come to fulfillment, don't we? And now the Egyptians are, look, it's the middle of the night. We get that. Leave. Get out now. We don't want any more people dying. Take your herds, take your flocks, go. The children of Israel said, we need to borrow some things from you. We need to borrow gold and silver and things, you know, precious things. The Egyptians, here you go. The Lord put it in the heart for the children of Israel to spoil the people. And looking real good now, right? Everybody's happy. The Lord's word is coming to pass. Let's go on down to chapter 14 and verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Do you see once again the why question coming up? A victory, the word's coming true, but now we're trapped between Pharaoh and the Red Sea. He's got his army, his chariots coming after. Why, Lord? Things are looking up. Things had finally turned the corner. You were blessing us. We were free, and here we are. We're about to go back into captivity. Why, Lord? Did the Lord abandon the children of Israel on the shore there because they asked why again? No. Let's drop on down to verse 21 in chapter 14. It says, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night. and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went in the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord said unto Moses, Stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen, and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. And we get to the why. Why did the Lord do it that way? Why did the Lord keep putting them into binds and then showing them his power? And it said the people feared the Lord and believe the Lord. God's okay with you asking why. He wants you to understand why. John 3:16. What kind of verse is that? For God so loved the world. Do you realize that's the answer to the question why? That's one of the most, I would say, seems to be one of the most often quoted scriptures out there. For God so loved the world that gave his only begotten Son. And it's the answer to a why question. God's okay with us asking why. Let's go to Matthew chapter 27. And verse 46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? Well, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Have you ever considered that even Jesus asked why? He knew God's entire plan. Agreed to it. But in the midst of dying on the cross, he had a why question. My God, this is tough. This is harder than I thought. Why have you forsaken me? And what happened? Wasn't long after, he passed. And I ponder upon that verse that says, No man takes my life from me, I lay it down. And we don't have any scripture to back up what I've often supposed in my mind. But I wonder if the Lord gently reminded Jesus, You know, son, when you let it go, it's over. You're on that cross to suffer and die for their sins. But when you're ready to let go of this life on earth, it's over. I've given you that power. All you have to do is be willing to let it go. Let the life go. You know, how many times have we felt like Jesus? Lord, why is this taking so long? You know, why have you forsaken me? Have you thought about that word to forsake? means to quit or leave entirely, to desert, to abandon, to depart from, to withdraw from. And it can also mean to fail a person or a thing. And Jesus asks, why have you forsaken me? And in response, the Lord did not deem him unworthy. The Lord gave him the final bit of strength he needed to make it to the end, to take care of the job he had been entrusted. Why do we ask that question? Why do we ask the question why? Do you know, oftentimes people might say, well, I'm afraid if I ask the question why, the Lord will think I'm doubting him. But in my experience, I've found oftentimes when I'm trying to ask the question why, it's because I'm actually trying to hold on to my belief. I'm trying to hold on to my faith. I may be asking the question why to God, but it's because, Lord, I feel like my grip is getting weak. My determination is struggling. And I would love to answer to this question because I feel like it would help me get back on solid ground. A why question like that, do you think the Lord's going to turn away from? He may not necessarily answer the question directly. When Moses asked the Lord, why are you not setting your people free yet? The Lord didn't explain the why. He just said, okay, now here's what else I'm going to do. Just keep following me, Moses. Just keep sticking the ground. Moses continuing to follow what appeared to be an ineffectual path. Have you considered that? Here you are telling Pharaoh and the Egyptians, my God's going to do all this wonderful, strong stuff, and they're not seeing anything. Do you think the why question might come to your mind? I'm certain it would come to mine. You know, Noah, told to build an ark because it's going to rain someday and flood the entire earth. Starts building it, given plans, directions, type of wood, everything. Working on it for years. Something like 100 years, I think it was. Do you think the question why ever came into his head? Think he hit it the 5-year mark? 25-year mark? 80-year mark? I would have to think if Noah was as human as the rest of us, there was probably multiple times why came into his head. Lord, I've been working on this for years. I don't think I'm ever going to get it done, much less whatever you... This is a big boat, Lord. And you're going to have me put all the animals in here? And you're going to... And this rain stuff, nobody's believing me, Lord. We don't know what rain is. You say it's water falling from the sky. We got mist that goes up and comes down, but it's never rained before. But he stayed obedient, did he? Through all of his potential why questions, we don't have record he asked him. That's, once again, supposition. What about Job? Job, careful Job, trying to make sure that he always took care of everything, sacrificed in case his kids ever did anything wrong, that he could try to have them as okay with the Lord as possible. I mean, he wasn't just looking out for himself. He was trying to look out for his whole family. And then he started getting news one day. Yeah, your animals, your camels, and your sheep, they've all been killed, and this and that's been taken, and oh, by the way, all of your kids had got together, I think it was their oldest brother's house, and a windstorm came along and knocked the house down. They're all dead. When you read the book of Job, Have you ever thought about listening to all the why questions he asked? What did I do to bring this on? Why did this happen? Can someone explain it to me? That's one of the big questions throughout the whole book of Job. Lord, if you will tell me what I need to correct, I'd be happy to. I just don't understand. I'd like to know why. Don't you remember when Job asked, why was I even born? Why was I allowed to even breathe? What's the point, Lord? Why? Why did all this happen? And yet, it says in Job chapter 1, verse 22, in all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Why was an okay question? Why was an okay question? God didn't view it as you're charging me foolish to ask why. You're a man. You want to understand. Christ, in the Garden of Gethsemane, went to pray. I'm going to paraphrase some things here. He's in that garden. He's struggling with what he knows he has ahead of him. And in essence, he starts asking, why the cross, Lord? Isn't there some other way? Can't we find a different way? Why the cross? I'm looking at this face to face, dear Heavenly Father, and I know in just a few short hours, I'm going to be facing it and touching it and on it. And I'd like to ask the question, why the cross? Can we find another way? You know, we can ask why. There's nothing wrong with that. I do think we need to be careful and realize of whom we're inquiring and asking why. To recognize that God has sovereignty and wisdom we don't. Moses, while he asked why, he stayed obedient. He didn't walk away. Noah, while we suppose he probably said why more than once, he kept building that boat, kept preaching to the people. We know Job asked why a lot. And when the Lord finally talked to Job, oh, I am so happy to hear from you, Lord. I'm going to shut my mouth. I am small before you. You're God. I think it is perfectly okay for us to ask why, as long as we remember, like Jesus said there in Luke 22:42, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. As we struggle with things in life, there's times all of us are going to face things that just have you asking the question, why? Why? Lord, I don't get it. There is nothing wrong with going to the Lord and saying that. Saying, Lord, I don't get it. I don't understand. But make sure while you're asking him that you don't understand, ask him for the strength and the wisdom to deal with it till he helps you to understand, if he ever does. There's some things that God has said is reserved to judgment, things that we won't understand till the end of time. But the comforting thing for me is we serve a God. If you read the Bible front to back, it's full of answers to the why questions. Why was the earth even made? To glorify the Lord. It's in there. Why did Christ come? To save the people. Because God loved us. This book is full of the answers to the question why. Let's just remember of who it is we're asking the question. Y'all pray for me.